Hello and welcome to Always in Escrow with Serena Appel and Colby Burchin. Hello, Colby.
Hello. How are you today?
I am fantastic, and I'm feeling so much calm through me and clarity because we are speaking today with Natalie Walsh. She is the founder of Natalie Walsh Designs and NWD Studio in Chicago. Natalie guides a transformative journey through Reiki, meditation, energy healing, embodied photography, sacred experiences and spaces, and so much more. Natalie, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So can you share with us some of your fondest memories of growing up in Minnesota and how that environment influenced your love for nature and gardening?
Yeah, I think this is kind of the basis for my connection to nature, spirit, my sort of inner child self. Through my childhood, I really kind of like ran wild and free in the woods of my neighborhood. I lived in Minnetonka, Minnesota. And when I was going through my own sort of healing journey over the past, you know, 5+ years, I really had a vision of myself like being in that, in the woods, like as my little self, and looking at like the violets on the forest floor up close, and just feeling free and wild and connected. And I think that really was part of the culmination of what I'm now doing in my life, and realizing that that's such a powerful, transformative space to be able to step into for everybody, to be able to remember that that little person is still inside of you, guiding you and all you do. And so, yeah, I think also the land of water, I'm a big, big water lover. So getting to be around nature and water is important to me.
Beautiful. So at a very young age, you were already involved in floral design and poetry. What sparked your interest in these creative pursuits?
Both my parents are very creative and very into gardening, and let me really explore that freely and pick flowers from the garden and make little arrangements. And I have pictures of myself, you know, holding little bouquets I made. And I always painted and danced and drew and sang and wrote songs. They're really hysterical, the context of, you know, an 8-year-old girl. But yeah, it just has always been, I'm like a Renaissance woman.
And what about that? Well, the early floral design, I know that you had a job when you were really young working in a store, working with florals. Even back then, you were employed, if you will. How did that come about?
I went very naively on Valentine's Day to visit my best friend who worked at a flower shop. And we were 14, walked in, said like, oh, can I see Heather? Is she here? They're like, yes, she is, but she's busy. Do you want a job, honey? It's like, no, I don't. They're like, that's too bad. Come on in.
You got
started. Start scrubbing buckets, start cutting stems. You want to learn how to make a corsage? Like, not really, but I guess, sure. And then it just kind of kept going forever and ever and ever. And 30 years later, you know, I was doing very, very custom, high-end, full production events in Chicago. And that really was such an opportunity for me to blend so many things. I mean, I was able to really meet with my clients, sit with them. I love people. I love talking to people and hearing where they're coming from and what they want their event to feel like. And that really brought visions for me, you know, and they would say like, I'm just rambling on. I don't know what I'm saying. And I said, no, just keep going. You know, as you're saying it, I'm literally like channeling this vision, which at the time I thought I was just like casually throwing out that word, but I think I was actually channeling. And then I would be drawing it and be like, here's your wedding. They're like, wait, what? How did you do that? You know, I'm like, I can literally see it all happening. They're like, but are you sure that's the right thing? Like, yes, I can see it. Like, this is what is going to happen. It's going to be amazing. Like, just trust me, go with it. So it let me really do, you know, spatial design, floral design, lighting design. You know, I did everything from choosing linens, chargers, plates, chairs, any layer that people would let me get my hands on.
Well, I had the pleasure of working with Natalie on a bar mitzvah that we had not too long ago. And though it's not your focus right now, it's always going to be a part of you. And Natalie and I spent some time and developed something that was just so perfect. It was definitely my vision. And, you know, it's funny because now talking to you and spending some more time learning about your journey, your present journey, now I really know how we were able to click and then just like jump right in there. So she really helped solve an issue that I was having with this event and bring it to life. And I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
Natalie, how did your move to Chicago for college shape your artistic journey, particularly in transitioning from music to pursuing a photography major?
So I came here thinking I was going to learn to do, you know, sound engineering, essentially, so that I could go back home. My dad had a recording studio in his home, and I was going to record my album and be a pop star. And then I came to Chicago and I took, you know, one semester of music courses at Columbia College, where I went to school, and amongst other things. And it was really driven towards a theatrical background. That really wasn't my avenue. I wanted to, you know, be a pop star and just sing. So I said, you know, I'm going to step back and try something else. I also had recently gotten into photography and wanted to paint too. So I thought, I'm just gonna take some photography courses and be a better photographer so I can paint from those photos. And within one semester, I was fully hooked on photography. I had decided I wasn't doing really anything anymore in music outside of, you know, my own journey outside of college. And then really just kept going at that. I mean, I think it allowed me to connect with people and, you know, I feel like Serena and I've talked about this, but people are, to me, just a part of nature too. And seeing them more as like sculpture or a flower or a mountain, or it just is a part of life to me. So capturing people's essence and their movement and their, you know, truest self and like joyful opportunities. Like I photographed a lot of dancers in college and that was amazing. And then I also wrote quite a bit. So I was involved in a lot of poetry and had a couple poems published in college, which was fun, and continued to write still. So then really when I graduated, well, before I graduated, I started shooting interiors. Just happened that I had gone to high school with Nate Burgess, his younger brother, and I were pretty close. So Nate had moved to Chicago, was just starting his company, had me shoot interiors. And I really always kind of dabbled in various commercial jobs for photography and fashion and portraiture and events, shot weddings, all of that. So in general, just loving people.
So with 30 years working in experiential events, how have you seen the industry evolve over the years? And what trends or changes have stood out to you?
When I started, it was so much simpler. It was like beautiful flowers and a low arrangement on the table. Maybe there were some high, maybe there were some candelabras, taper candles, what have you. But it wasn't what it is now, which is so full production. I think it was a bit more driven toward tradition and toward the people and what was happening rather than what it looked like and the perceived value monetarily of the luxury of the events. And that continued to grow really, you know, through the internet. All of a sudden we could see designers around the world, see what they were doing, which was great for the rest of us to experience different styles, different looks, different rooms, different chairs, different, you know, and then it became like, I want that chair. I want that linen. I want to do an arrangement like that, you know, and then Pinterest came around, Instagram, and then that grew so that everybody was seeing everything and everybody wanted everything, regardless of the price point. You know, everybody felt like, well, I want that too, which, yeah, you know, we all want the best, but it doesn't always work for everybody's budget range. So then that, you know, just as it was very interesting transition to being able to have people comparing their events to other people, which, you know, we all know that saying. So I think that became more of a driving force, is people making sure that they like hit this mark, you know, that they're impressing people with the visuals more so than necessarily what was, you know, the sacred act of marrying someone, bringing these families together. And then it's just really gone wild. I mean, everything over the last few years is suspended from a ceiling or walls of things, custom building rooms out, building tents, you know, and creating these residential spaces within tents. So it's just really exponentially changed into really a very detailed full production set more than just a celebration of marriage, you know, and for other events as well. But I focus on weddings. So
can you tell us about your inner shift and experience towards spiritual practice?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, was tied into the pandemic. It was tied into events. For me, watching people come into the room and see the room, watch the like first look, as we call it, and having people go, oh my God. And I could watch them, you know, leaving everything else behind, and then watch all their friends come in and their family come in and everybody leaving this other world behind. And it's like, this is the magic that I want to take out of this. I want this to be every day, though. I don't want this to be a 6-hour experience and then this is like the best day of their life. It's like, this should be the beginning of the best days of your life, and the rest of your days should be exciting and beautiful and joyful, and you should be able to have the skills to step outside of the stresses of daily life and feel that joy for yourself, coming from inside of you, as well as around you. So I began to kind of think more about the fact that I was creating these spaces for people to feel a certain way and feel connected to the people around them and feel deep joy and love and celebration. And as people through the pandemic really suffered from not having that connection and not having the opportunities to celebrate together anymore and to mark these special milestones in life together, it became more apparent that this celebratory act was deeper. You know, I definitely struggled over the years of thinking, like, is this the best use of myself? Like, having parties, is this meaningful? And I always kind of went back to, you know, I'm bringing these opportunities for people to feel love and feel connection and have these memories forever. But it changed. You know, I just realized, like, this is more, you know, we need to have more of this and have this be more than just what it looks like. And then I had to stop during the pandemic from going full tilt 24/7 forever, for decades, to having nothing, you know, happening. And just on my computer typing away at the plans to come and the plans to come as the calendar shifted, and things piled up. And it was overwhelming to stop. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to chill at all. And an old friend said, "You are still so fire. You've got to learn how to relax. You should try meditating." It's like, I'm not going to meditate. You know, I can't meditate. I can't sit down. I never stop moving. Like, that's a joke, you know? And he's like, "You got to try it. You know, just go on YouTube and type in 5-minute meditation when you feel like you need it." And it maybe was a week later, you know, and this is maybe summer of 2020. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm desperate. I'm going to do what he said. I'm going to type in 5-minute meditation and try it. And I was immediately hooked. And really then all the pieces just started to come together. I was able to listen to myself, to receive the messages that my body had been telling me for a long time of, you know, caring for myself, which for most people, I think it's safe to say this is a struggle, but definitely in the service industry, we're not great at that. And we don't take time for that. We keep going, and it's a lot about caring for other people. But at the end of the day, it was, you know, if I'm an empty vessel, then I have nothing to give to others. And so I began to really take a journey into myself and realize, how am I caring for myself? How am I listening to myself? What is my body telling me? You know, I'm very empathic, and I finally had space and time to listen to the world around me and felt the guidance of energies around me, and just realized that the combination of gifts that I have could be used in other ways. And I felt like the world was suffering and was disconnected, and that everybody had hit this pause and didn't know what to do with themselves. And I wanted to help, you know, I wanted to be of service in a deeper way and help people love themselves, create spaces that, you know, enrich their lives, that made them feel safe and inspired and held, and to allow that energy to overflow into their families, their workplaces, their celebrations, everything in life. And I believe still that that is how we're going to create this new world, where we care for ourselves and care for each other and care for the environment.
I think, first of all, your message is so powerful, because so many people can't connect with themselves. And just to hear you talk about it, I feel like our audience is going to be, well, wow, I could do that. You're getting that across. It's amazing. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I think I feel like I'm a bridge from this other world I was in, where I felt like I can't do this. I can't let this stuff go. I can't quiet my mind. And still, I mean, a lot of people say, like, well, I can't just sit still and think of nothing. It's like, you don't have to sit still and think of nothing. That's not what it's about. You know, it's about just allowing yourself to be and to learn to continue to shed these layers of, you know, conditioning, of trauma, of whatever it is that you're carrying around that is old baggage that does not serve you at all and is only blocking you from moving forward and expanding and being your best self. And it doesn't take forever. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think once people allow themselves to just sit and take a breath and learn, like anything else, is a muscle that we need to keep working on, that is actually pretty quickly very rewarding and life-changing.
Incredible. Okay, so your belief in love as the answer to everything is incredibly inspiring. How does this belief guide your interactions with clients and shape the experience you create for them?
I think that just like people feel this sense that they're not able to sit still and they're not able to be with themselves. There was actually a really interesting study that Jay Shetty, who I love listening to, had posted. And I believe it was that most people, they did a survey, and most people said that they would rather receive an electrical shock than spend 15 seconds with their own thoughts. I was like, this can't go on. This can't go on. You know, this is like, also not that complicated. You know, this is just like, we've got to learn how to just care for ourselves, you know? And I was terrible at that before. So I think it's a lot of things. You know, learning how to breathe so that you can ground yourself. You know, meditation is key. And getting out in the world. I mean, I, during the pandemic, became like a walking, like, addict. Because it connects you to the world outside. It allows your body to move energy through you instead of being stagnant. It's great for your mind. 20 minutes of walking completely changes the activity of your brain. So I really allowed myself to have that space. And I think that that's really where this is at. Because once you feel like you are allowed to care about yourself, and you're allowed to listen to yourself, and you're allowed to say, actually, I'm tired, or actually, I'm hungry, or actually, I don't feel like saying yes to going here tonight. It's all listening to yourself, which at the end of the day, the more you listen to yourself, the more you value yourself. The more you value yourself, the more you're going to continue to care. You know, it's such a cycle of learning who you are and allowing yourself to love yourself as you are, to forgive yourself for whatever experiences you feel you've had, you know, I mean, I work with people and like, let's go, like, you know, throat chakra, for instance, like let go of the things that you feel like you said that have hurt people. You know, it's already been done. Like, let's let it go. Like, you learned the lesson, keep the lesson, let go of the burdens that you feel, you know, whether those are burdens that were placed upon you by other people, let go, forgive it, like moving on. Carrying it around is not, it's not helping anyone. So learning to grieve, learning to like grow through that behavior and learning to forgive yourself and others, knowing that they are just carrying around other people's stuff too. And then to just flow into who you are. I think that that is, you know, that's love. Like underneath it all, we all came from love. That's universal energy to me, for all of us, for nature, this sharing of energy, transference, support, you know, through everything we do. If we can love ourselves, then we can easily love others. If we can care for ourselves, then we are more apt to care for others and offer a hand and realize that we're not all that different.
Can you tell our audience, are there any opportunities that exist for individuals or groups to collaborate with you in experiencing Reiki and energetic guidance or in participating in your curated healing experiences?
Yes. So I work one-on-one with clients, whether that's remotely or in my studio. I also travel to do events, and that can be, you know, varying sizes of groups. So I work with people as a, at a base level to learn to open up to themselves, to breathe, to meditate, and to start to let things go. And once you start to shed these layers, you know, you are allowing yourself to be curious to all of the things that you're here for in life. And I think that doing that through Reiki is a beautiful way to just continue to energetically release things and welcome in what you're looking to bring into your life and what you're looking to let out of your heart, out of your soul, out of your spirit, you know, what you came here for. So doing that individually, I think, is really powerful, but also having the opportunity to do that with other people, again, provides community and accountability and safety. You know, we're communal people. We're connected. I don't think that we're meant to live in these separate spaces, spaced apart from each other, without generational, you know, differences and lessons and wisdom surrounding us. I think we need that. And I think that being able to create environments where you feel safe and you feel supported amongst people who also are seeking to let things go and live a different life and shine their light, that just continues to amplify that feeling exponentially. So whether that's a, you know, a group of a few women that want to get together every month and create this accountability group and go through Reiki and meditation and, you know, setting intentions and releasing things, you know, that's great. But also I put together custom retreats and custom activations for private groups and corporate groups, really on a sort of a la carte fashion. So people can do meditation, Reiki, yoga, sound baths, plant medicine, nutritional activations. So anything that feeds the soul and helps people to really radiate and shine the best light and let go of what's holding them back is what I want to offer the world. And I want to make that easy for people. I really kind of had to hunt and peck through finding people when I was on my healing journey. And it was beautiful, but it definitely required more work and space between. And I want to help people to just feel at ease and feel like all they need to do is show up, you know, and let us know what the intention is. And, you know, this collective community can help them create this portal of like peacefulness and purpose to step into. So I really love providing that for my clients.
The events do not stop. And I can imagine all of the details and so much thoughtfulness goes into that because it's coming from you and, you know, your background and your awareness already. Plus you're so intuitive. I mean, you're using intuition with the individual. It's really so special, your approach.
Thank you.
So you've described your photography offerings as divine feminine. Can you elaborate on what that means to you and how you infuse your work with this quality?
Absolutely. I did a lot of, as I mentioned, dancers and also nudes during college. And I feel like I sort of arrived now at this place. I'm 47. And over the past couple of years, I've kind of returned. It's like my life went sort of full circle. And I realized that, you know, the women I was photographing, you know, 18 to 25, for instance, really struggled with the same things about their bodies as women do now. And it's like, this is not good. You know, we've got to love ourselves. These bodies carry us through life and put up with so much, you know, having babies, having all kinds of things happen to us. And then we still are not loving them. We're still judging them. We're still feeling like, oh, maybe tomorrow I'll like my body. Or maybe if I get a trainer, I'll like my body. Or maybe if I stop eating X, Y, and Z, I'll like my body. It's like, this is not helpful energy. We should just be able to feel free, you know, and feel like we love ourselves. So I started working with women again and doing nudes, and it really is like a different activation to step into embodiment and feeling like, oh, this is my body. I can do whatever I want with it. I can run around on the beach naked and love myself. That's my right to do that. And then that kind of grew into creating sort of a culmination of nature and nudes coming together. And then I create custom patterns for people. So it becomes like a textile or wallpaper sort of project for people. So it's a range of things. And really what people say is, you know, I realized that this was such an opportunity, and I didn't see my body this way before, and I didn't even know I looked like this, and I've never felt comfortable in my skin. And now I can look at these pictures and feel proud of myself and feel comfortable to do this. And I think this is something that's coming up everywhere. There's a group, I think it's out of New York, Feud, I think is how you say it. And they're doing naked dinner parties. So I think it's just like, right now, the divine feminine is rising in the energy of the world. And again, it just goes back to loving who we are in this very moment and being present in ourselves and allowing ourselves to just be, you know, be who we are. And I think also it's been interesting having I have a 9-year-old son. And, you know, kids ask you all kinds of questions, like, why do people have to wear clothes? Well, because we've been told that we have to hide ourselves. Why do we have to hide ourselves? I don't know. Are there places where people don't hide themselves? There are places where people don't hide themselves. Where are those places? Like, why? And he sees my art too. And he knows like bodies are natural. Bodies are just like nature. And there's nothing wrong with bodies. And we all have a body. And we all look different in our bodies. And like, there's nothing, you don't have to feel bad about your body. And I think allowing yourself to, again, like love yourself is then teaching those around you to love themselves. And it's all about just shining your light, lets the people next to you know that they can shine their light too. So just continuing the flow of love and acceptance and authenticity and embodiment and all of the beautiful, abundant things that come from allowing yourself to just drop into the present and accept yourself as you are.
I have twin 9-year-old boys, and they say the darndest things.
Yes, they do. He told his friend the other day, his friend came in and said, Arden just said that you're 20. He's like, did he? Thank you so much. He's like, I figured I'd just, you know, tell him, you know, it's like, thank you. You go ahead and tell everybody in town that I'm 20.
But hey, we may feel like we're 20, right?
And oh, yeah, I do.
With these practices that really are such like a life force, right? I do feel, you know, my practices, which are very similar to what your offerings are, have really allowed me to kind of, I mean, definitely embrace my age, my current age, and, you know, love all of the chapters of my life thus far. But it's this renewed sense of youth also. And, you know, that was my intention, right? To feel vital. And, you know, all my approaches to life are for more vitality. And I want that for everybody around me to feel vital, to feel great.
Yeah. To feel like you have permission to change, I think is huge. I think that we're taught so young, pick a path, you better pick it right. Better stick to it. Don't stray from it. Don't screw it up. Do the best, be the best, more, more, more. And it's like, that's just not natural. You know, we should be allowed to evolve. Every single thing on earth evolves, everything. So we should be a part of that. You know, we shouldn't judge ourselves for changing direction. And I guess I've never had a lot of fear for change. And that's one of the other reasons why I feel like I'm a bridge for people to just give themselves permission to just take a new perspective and take a risk and live their life. You know, I don't think we're meant to stay here, just sitting here, living out the path that was chosen for us when we're, you know, 12 forever.
We have one more for you, Natalie. Are there any particular moments from your work that have been especially rewarding or memorable?
Yeah, it's really the simplest moments where I can see people seeing themselves differently, seeing their lives differently. I received a text from a dear friend today who said, I just want to tell you that I love you. And I woke up this morning repeating the mantra, I am mine, and I just feel so good. And it's like that, those little things, you know. And, you know, I have a Reiki client who has seen me twice and she's like telling people that her life has changed, you know, and she's able to tap into herself and she's able to forgive herself and she's able to feel these versions of herself all being carried with her and see her life in a different way. It's those moments where I know that people are being able to let go of suffering and embrace possibility and love themselves without feeling ashamed of caring for themselves and seeing how that affects them in their personal lives and in their business decisions, how they're able to expand creatively or how it's improving their marriages or friendships or allowing them to see what doesn't fit anymore. I mean, it's like little granular shifts that become bigger every day, and being able to be a part of that journey with people is massively rewarding for me in a very different way. I mean, it's very externally motivated, really, in what I did before. It was very much like, did this succeed? Does this space look beautiful? Are people happy? You know, and that was kind of how it went every weekend of my life for years. And now it's, and I've, you know, just watching this evolution of humans feeling better and feeling empowered and connecting with each other. And while it is sort of externally motivated, it also is just serving everybody, you know, which is really, really beautiful to see.
Natalie, so tell our audience, how can people find you and connect with you?
So they can find me on Instagram, Natalie Walsh Designs, or my website, nataliewalshdesigns.com. And I am very much a custom gal. So any type of activation or healing opportunity, I'm very creative and look forward to every challenge and opportunity to help people grow.
Amazing.